Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hi, I'm Mike Pesca, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. As the new school year gets underway in New York City, the New York Times and WNYC have gotten together to launch schoolbook.org, featuring searchable data about just about every school, reports from WNYC and the Times, as well as Gotham schools and inside schools, and contributions by you. Contributions by parents, students, teachers, principals, anyone interested in what's going on in the city schools. WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig is a regular contributor to Schoolbook, and she has joined Brian each week this month to review different issues that are cropping up on the site. The site is ongoing, of course, but today we'll conclude this series of visits by talking about the school buildings themselves and by welcoming Beth back. Hey, Beth.
Hi.
And we do want to hear from you and from parents and teachers. Overcrowding, have you seen the effect? Parents, have you visited your children's classrooms for curriculum night? What struck you? Hopefully, not a falling beam. Another issue. Teachers, do you have more students assigned to you this year or about the same? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or go to schoolbook.org/respond and post your comment there or follow a link to the show page. So it's a little different from asking everyone to go to WNYC since it's this group effort. It's schoolbook.org/respond. Beth, last week the teachers union put out a report about overcrowding, and what problems did they find?
They do this survey every year where they ask their members, is your class size above the contractual limit, which changes for every grade. There's a limit of, 25 or 28 kids, depending on the size of the classroom, or 30 in high schools maybe. And they found 7,000 classrooms that were above the contractual limit, meaning they had more students than they're supposed to in the teacher's contract. But this happens every fall. They always have too many kids in some classes until the city moves them around. It's fluid. Enrollment changes. And so the city always says it comes down within a few months or even a few weeks in many cases. But the teachers union says there is a trend. They've noticed 1,000 more classrooms are more crowded this year than last year. They blame that on budget cuts.
So then what's the contract if does it always get solved to the teacher's satisfaction? If it's a contractual limit, has the contract enforced?
They grieve those cases. Yeah. They take the city to, they do arbitration over it. They force the city to lower the class sizes. So this happens every year. But if the union is right and they're already noticing more crowded classrooms than usual, it could be because of the trend with budget cuts. We've also seen growing kindergarten waiting lists, which is another sign. The school system is growing, and there's no doubt about it, especially in certain neighborhoods of Queens, Lower Manhattan, Brooklyn. And so we see kindergarten waiting lists across the city now, not just in a couple of schools.
Right. Queens is big. You mentioned Queens. Lots of overcrowding.
Yeah. Yeah. The New York Times actually did a great story on PS19 and Corona when back in the spring, Fernanda Santos, one of the Times reporters who's a frequent contributor to Schoolbook, she went there and she saw, situations in which kids had to choose between using their lunch break for lunch or for using the bathroom because the halls are so crowded and they have to do a lot of management strategies at that school. On the first day of school, they had to tell children in every grade exactly where they're supposed to go because it's so crowded. There are situations like this where the city perhaps didn't recognize the growing immigrant populations and didn't build enough seats for them. The city has been accused of that, especially in Queens and in Lower Manhattan, where many residents moved and continue to move after 9/11 and claim that the city hasn't kept up with the growing enrollment of young children, even as they're building more residential buildings. So there have been a lot of these cases. The city says that they have built 100,000 seats since 2003, and there's another 26,000 to go in the next five-year capital plan or four-year capital plan. But there are many neighborhoods where people say, look, you guys did not plan for the growing enrollment.
And before we get to some more of the questions on some more of the substance, just talk us through a little bit about registering for the school book and the Public Insight Network.
Okay.
It's a little different than how
I know. We got a couple
things,
of things to throw out right now. First of all, Schoolbook, it's a collaboration between The Times and WNYC. We're really excited about this because we want to encourage conversation about what's going on in the schools. And we want parents and teachers to be able to talk about what's happening in their particular schools. So what you do is you go online at schoolbook.org. It's free. It's not behind the New York Times paywall. This is a separate site we've done together. And if you want to comment on any of the questions that we've posed on the site, site, including one about, is your school overcrowded? That's on the site today. What you do is you just say, yes, I want to comment, but you have to use your Facebook account. It'll take you right away and say you've got to sign in through Facebook, because we want to discourage just anyone from having, flaming each other with nasty comments and things like that. We want to make sure that these are real people, so to speak, on the site. But it doesn't mean it's going to show up on your Facebook site or anything like that. It's just using Facebook to sign in. It's very easy. If you just go to schoolbook.org, you'll see how to do that. And then I'm going to throw one more thing at you. While you're engaged, because you're home, you know, it's school holiday, parents and teachers, you're home today. We want to find a way for you to stay in touch with us and give us your tips. Tell us what's happening and for us to reach out to you. So what we're building is a network. It's called the Public Insight Network, which WNYC has been doing. And what you do is you basically sign up to be a source for us, where you can tell us things and we can tell you things. And for that, you go to WNYC.org, our website, /series/PIN, P-I-N, for Public Insight Network. We really want you to sign up for this. So go to schoolbook.org and then go to WNYC.org/series/PIN. That's all the instructions I'm going to give you right now. But you do have the day off, hopefully, or at least, you know, teachers, if you have the day off, do it, because we want to hear from you. And we encourage you, especially on School Book, the really cool thing is you can go to the site for your school, and we have all the latest data in one place. You don't have to go to different places on the state and city websites. So in addition to all the reporting on School Book, there's also, you can look at PS19 in Queens, for example, the school I just mentioned, and you can check the class size ratio. You can check how many teachers with master's degrees are at the school. You can check all of the state test results on that school. It's all in one place, and then you can comment on it if you're a parent or teacher.
And the important thing, you know, you mentioned Facebook and using your real name, and that's so important to make the site useful, because there are sites out there where it's sometimes it's good, but there's a lot of rumor mongering.
Exactly.
And they name a specific teacher and you don't know who's saying it. A lot of people who are commenting on the School Book site use their avatars, their actual picture.
Right.
You know, and people who study the internet know that it's no one's fault. When the internet started, anonymity was prized, but there's a real downside to anonymity. And for the kind of thing that you're trying to do, getting real people on the record, having a real conversation is really important. Now, as I say that, we're going to go to Dave in Washington Heights, and I guess the convention of talk radio is you just have to give your first name. But Dave, we will.
But you can go on School Book and give your real name.
Yes. But Dave, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, just a quick point. One of the things that I'm a teacher. I'm actually on family leave this year. But in years past, this is the perennial issue of class sizes. And there's always this report. I guess the DOE always tries to make it look pretty good. The one thing that I've always had a problem with is I read about this in the papers and in the New York Times and others as well, just seem to gobble the DOE statistics as they're given. And as a teacher, I've always been surprised by the number of the DOE reports. And just casually have polled friends of mine who teach in other classrooms and look at my own class, and the numbers are always higher in my class and the teachers that I know than what the DOE is reporting.
Because
and
that's an average.
Right. So as Beth says, that's an average. As a middle school teacher, you would know that that would mean the mean, and the mean being that a couple of very undercrowded classes would throw everything off, right?
Well, I understand that, but, I mean, it's just almost everyone that I talk to, I would say everyone that I talk to sees their numbers in a middle school always being closer to 33, 34 mm-hmm. students. Mm-hmm. And I think the DOE reports something closer to 27. And it's just that. I mean, I just don't see enough reporting showing. Yeah, I guess I get the impression that the reporters aren't going into the classrooms themselves and seeing what they see. I just see them reporting what the DOE puts on their webpage.
Well, actually, School Book does have class sizes. If you go to each school's site on School Book, if you plug in the name of your school and go there, you'll see the average class size for that school, not the average class size for the city. It also lists the staff to pupil ratio. Now, that's a little misleading because there's a school I was at in the Bronx the other day where it says the average, it's a 10-to-1 ratio of pupils to staff, but that's for all teachers. However, that is much lower than average, and that does reflect a reality in that school in which the class sizes are capped. at about 15 or 17 because that principal chooses to have smaller class sizes. On the other hand, the school in Queens that I mentioned with a lot of overcrowding, I believe it says on school book that the average class size at that elementary school is 24, which is larger than average. But that is an average. So while there are some rooms that are smaller, there are many rooms that are bigger. It's very hard to track these things. We do it anecdotally as reporters by going to the schools and visiting classrooms and getting real stories. But it's very hard to do to really tell the full story because they're averages.
Right. And Dave, thanks for the call. And this is a point, if not the point, behind school book to get better numbers out there, to not have to rely on the DOE or the teachers union to get the people who are there every day accurately reporting the numbers and using their own names. And, you know, Dave said something about I get the sense that the reporters don't go into the schools. It's very hard. You have to get permission. So.
It's hard. I mean, there are principals who feel very worried because they're being measured now on their student test scores, and they're afraid that their schools could be closed for poor performance. Report cards came out last week. Twice as many schools this year got D's and F's, and there's a lot of principals out there who are really worried about what that means for their future. On the other hand, as an education reporter, you know, my agenda is to show what's really happening in the schools. And I find lots of principals who are willing to let me come and visit. They may be worried at first, but they get permission or they, you know, feel like they can trust us. And we have an agenda only in showing what's happening for other people out there.
No. So if we're talking about the issue of overcrowding, one solution, I guess it's a solution, is this trend of co-locating several schools in one building. You know, you take Brandeis High School on the Upper West Side. It has all these kind of little mini schools throughout it. But that has its own problems, right?
Well, and that's not been a solution to overcrowding. What that's been is a solution to the Bloomberg administration's desire to build more schools, to give parents more options, whether it's charter schools, and they've had, you know, over 100 of those have cropped up, or small new schools, which they've opened often to replace larger failing schools. So the city has built over 400 schools in the past few years, and they need a place to put those. They choose buildings that they claim are underutilized. Many parents disagree and say, well, you call that an underutilized building, but they actually use that particular room for counseling students in trouble. You know, don't take that room away from us. And so you have these turf wars where they're putting charter schools or other schools inside the same buildings as regular schools. And sometimes it works out well, and sometimes it doesn't. And kids end up using separate entrances. There's different principals. There's different hallways that the schools use, and it can cause resentments.
And as schools age, there's a problem of toxins like PCBs that were used in caulking and light fixtures. And the city said they're going to remove the PCBs, but they want to take the time. Some parents groups object to that. Remove them now. Where does that all stand?
The city has committed to removing all of the PCB lighting fixtures, which were banned in the 70s, but there's PCBs in the fixtures that leak into the air. And that is a health threat, but it's not considered an immediate health threat. So the city has said they're going to remove them over a 10-year period. There's many parents who want it faster, though. There's been a lawsuit over it. There's also PCBs in the caulking, which was known about. That's not generally considered as lethal or, you know, as dangerous because it stays in the caulk. People are more worried about what's being leaked from the light fixtures. But as I said, it's not considered an immediate health hazard, but the EPA does want it out, and the city has said they're going to try to do it as fast as they can. But 10 years to some parents is not fast enough. There's about 800 buildings affected, though, and the city says it's going to take a while.
All right. We'll have more. We'll have to leave it there right now. And we commend you to check out the school book site, the Public Insight Network. Register there because this is a collaborative exercise and we need everyone who is affected and interested in the schools to participate. Schoolbook.org. Explore the news from Beth, from the other reporters, from the New York Times reporters. Do join the conversation. And Beth Fertig, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Coming up after the news, what would you change about the Constitution? A civic seminar on the air.